والسلام على سيد الخلق وعز المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى جميع أنبياء الله والمرسلين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
هاي وزارة الجماعة
صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
I have a question from one of the sisters. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. She said, Assalamu alaikum, please explain the difference between zakat and khums. Who and on what is khums obligatory? Mrs. Hassan. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmah wa ikram. The general term in the Quran that was used, as an obligation for the Muslim men and women when they are in a state of adulthood, they need to perform a zakat. It is called a zakat in general terms. A zakat is divided into two features, as an obligation, as a ritual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to apply and actualize. It is divided into two features. The first one, it's called al-khums. Al-khums, by definition, is the amount of money that you pay as an excess above your need after a whole year passes by, you pay one-fifth of the money that you earn as an excess money, a profit money, an extra money. That also applies on gifts that you bought, clothes that you never used, things that you paid for but you never used. Supposedly, I got a watch today and I did not use it until, I never used it, and 12 months passed by, then I have to pay al-khums on the watch. If I use it once, that's it. I don't have to pay al-khums on it. You pay al-khums on whatever excess money you earn after a whole year passed by. Supposedly, give you a simple example. Supposedly a family made $50,000 a year and then spend $40,000. $10,000 remain. You pay khums on the $10,000, which is how much? $2,000. The $8,000 that's left, you don't pay khums on it at all. Unless you made more money a year later.
Okay. What about zakat?
A zakat, as I explained to you earlier, it involves, by definition, al-khums, but it also, by definition, specifically means something else. There are certain crops. You're a farmer, There are certain crops that Islam imposed as zakat on them. And also there are certain livestock that Islam imposed as zakat on them. And it's called zakatul ghillah. Supposedly you have planted wheat, and then there is a certain amount of wheat you produced per year. Out of this amount, there is a specific formula you need to apply. You follow al-masa'il al-shar'iyya that will tell you. It depends on the country that you are, and it depends on the method. It depends on the unit of weight or the unit of volume that you use. Okay, and it is well known al-qamh wal-sha'ir wal-zabib wal-adath wal-tamr, all the seeds. If you have produced excess enough, a certain amount, you need to take some of this production and give it to the Naib al-Imam al-Mahdi, al-Marja, or Wali al-Amr, or whoever is representing them. There is also zakat on the livestock. If you have a lot of goats, camels, cows, and then you own them for a while, there is also what we call an-nisab, where you pay, you give some of these livestock to al-marja and his representative as zakat. And also there is what's called zakatul. If you discover somehow, one way or another, you discover a treasure, there is a zakat on the treasure too. If you go and dive in the sea, and then you discover a treasure, there is also a zakat on the treasure that you discover. So that's the general term. This is what we call al-wajib, an obligation, the obligation. And it is an obligation of every man and woman who applies the rule of earning, and the money need to be, read my lips, halal. Halal. Okay? Doesn't make sense to go pay al-khums and the money is coming from al-haram. Okay. Salawat. If any of the sisters want to ask a question, you could give her a paper and a pen if she is too shy to speak. Any question for the brothers?
Brother Baraka, can you clarify your last statement, please? Take out funds only on halal, not haram. Does that imply you can earn haram?
You know, in Islam, you would know things by definition if you know the opposites. If I'm speaking about how good the truth is, you should know how bad lying is. And if I'm saying that your khums need to be made from al-halal, it means that your earning should be from al-halal. It also means that it's haram to earn from al-haram.
Thank you.
And on this note, I would like my brothers and sisters, I would urge you and I urge myself, do not indulge and do not go far on living al-haram, because I know we have this bala in several communities across the United States. And from my own humble experience, I've worked with some of the brothers who have decided to leave earning from al-haram. And if I could bring their testimonies to bring it to you, you would be amazed. How did their life change? Allah promised us when He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If there was no Qur'an at all, listen to me. I am responsible for what I am saying. If there was no Qur'an at all, and there is only this ayah only, if Islam came only with this ayah, it would be suffice, enough, and sufficient
Because it is a wonderful ayah where Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever is being pious to Allah in everything he does, in the way he earns money, Allah will make a good way out of his problems. Allah will make a solution for his problems. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجْ. What's a makhraj? Means exit out of the trouble. Exit out of the stress. Allah will do that to you. And Allah will give you rizq from sources you could never imagine it's coming from. You don't expect it's coming from. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. The rizq will come to you from a place you don't expect. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. In doing so, and in everything else, and in التَّقْوَى, يعني إنه you are performing التَّقْوَى and you're doing the relying on Allah and you referring everything to Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. شو يعني حسبه؟ What does it mean? Because Allah will take care of him. Allah will be responsible for him. فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordained for every problem a solution. صلى على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Territory of the far versus the money made in the Islamic land. Is there a difference in homes?
The question is, my the brother wants me to elaborate on the issue of the money made as a bounty in the war and the money earned as work or in trade. Is there any difference as far as al-khums goes? That's the question.
Actually, in kufr land, the money made from kufar versus the money made from Muslim, you know, from halal money. Is there a difference?
The source of the money, as long as it is halal, regardless of who you deal with and regardless of where you make it, regardless of where did you invest it, khums should be applied. There is a small little difference in the school of thoughts between us and some of the Sunni school of thoughts. Some of the Sunni school of thoughts, the brothers believe al-khums does not apply on the money earning process. They only think al-khums apply as a bounty in the battlefield if the Muslim army wins something. But according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
According to al-ayat in the Quran and according to the Arabic tongue definition, al-khums applies on everything you earn as long as it's in excess of your need. Okay. Next question, please.
Sisters.
Sisters, anybody? Bismillah.
Actually, I want to tell you something. We are coming with a special intention during the Muharram, especially this time. And really, for us, it's important to know more about the Qiyam of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And according to, you know, everybody's Karbala and any type of social, I want to know what is our duty.
The sister is asking us to elaborate more on the event of Imam Hussain alayhi salam Ashura and tell us our duty in this occasion, right? That's the question. In my humble experience as a Muslim activist for the last 30 years, I found out I would serve Islam to the best of my ability if I use this occasion, which is Ashura occasion, which Shahadatul Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to address the contemporary issues that the Muslim communities are facing and dealing with. If we want to know the historical event as an event, the whole thing does not last more than half an hour. The battle itself, 72 men and women, 72 men, an Ali Imam Hussein alayhi salam army, faced 30,000 men of Umar ibn Sa'd and Ziyad ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu, Ziyad, and the battle lasted about 3 hours and a half, and Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions were martyred. But the point that I want to address, that it's very important, we are commemorating Al-Imam Hussein, and we are addressing these issues that we are addressing, Al-Imam himself addressed. Al-Imam in his speeches addressed it. I'll give you an example, and I'll give you the Dalil. Al-Imam says, I did not leave Al-Medina seeking power, nor I wanted to be a ruler, nor I wanted to be a Khalifa. I have left seeking Al-Islah in the deen of my grandfather. Al-Islah, to enjoin the good, and to order, and to refrain from doing the sinful acts. And then when we are addressing these issues, in my own humble view, we are doing the same thing. We are applying the same message.
Ahsan.
Ala taraw anna al-haqq la yu'malu bihi. This is the message of Al-Imam. He says, don't you see that al-haqq has been neglected? And it's not being followed. And it's not being applied. وَأَنَّ الْبَاطِلَ يُعْمَلُ بِهِ. And the false ways are being practiced and followed. And Al-Imam from that time raised his voice. And I have heard this voice at this time. And 1400 years later, I'm responding to his message. When I come to you, I want to urge you, and I urge myself, that al-haq need to be applied. Whether it is with you, or with your wife, or with your son, or with your daughter, or with your friend, Islam comes as a one package deal. And we see a lot of sickness in our lives, and a lot of problems in our character, and a lot of mishaps in our community, and it's all due to lack of two things. First, education. Second, taqwa. And when we are using these occasions in order to address these issues, don't think that we are forgetting about Al-Imam. We're just applying the bulk of the message, the heart of the message. But I could also assure you that the last 5 days, it will be about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his speeches, his statements, and we will reflect these statements on our reality. I hope that should be able to help you. Thank you, sister. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ahsan.
Anyone? There's another sister raising her hand. Anyone? Okay. Let's start our lecture with your permission. Is that okay?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-a'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyid al-Khalq wa Azz al-Mursaleen Abul Qasim Muhammad. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى جميع أنبياء الله والمرسلين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. I've got a question that stunned me. A gentleman called, and he is from, I believe, the western part of Africa. And he said, Brother Barakat, I just want to understand why, who is Al-Imam Hussein? Why is it that significant number of the Muslims in the world like you, every Ashura and every year make this notion and make these rituals and they get together. And you weep from the bottom of your heart. Why is it on the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi's occasion you don't weep that much? Why is it when any of the other Sahaba were killed, you don't even commemorate them and you don't even talk about them? What's so special about the Imam Hussein alayhi? Can you tell me in the Quran or in the Sunnah, I don't know if he's here today, but I told him if you come to the lecture, I will briefly answer your concern. If he was here, I'm glad he is. And if he's not, I hope somebody will give him the answer. When we Muslim school of Ahlul Bayt followers, when we stand in the mosque and do ziyarah, and it's called ziyarat what? Ziyarat warith. Right? So all of you heard about ziyarat who? Warith. And it was called warith. What's warith means? The inheritor. You say, Ali, warithu Rasulullah means Ali is the inheritor of Rasulullah. Inherit. Inherit what? Inherit al-ilm, the knowledge, and the qualities of the Rasul. The significance of this ziyarah answered the concern of the brother. We say, Ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitan la'in ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam safwatillah. What does that mean? Means Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, his legacy, his belief, his ideology, inherit the legacy of Adam salamullahi alayhi as a prophet. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam safwatillah. Ya'ni inti representation. Al-Imam al-Husayn represent what Adam represent. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuhin nabiyyillah. The same line. If there was Nuh, there was the message of Nuh, there was the struggle of Nuh, there was al-haq of Nuh, there was al-taqwa of Nuh, there was al-jihad of Nuh. It is your jihad, and it is your taqwa, and it is your ilm, the same extension. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim khalilillah. Ibrahim khalilillah, what all he represented, al-Imam Hussain alayhi salam represents. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Musa kalimillah. From Adam to Nuh to Ibrahim to Musa, the extension of all these prophets, al-Imam Hussain represents. How does he represent them? Does he look like them? No. By the look? No. By the word? Yes, but not only yes. By the action, the attitude, following al-haq, preserving al-aqidah, defending al-deen, and martyring himself for it.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah, mashallah.
Takbir!
Allah
Akbar! Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar!
If you do not know about who is al-Imam Hussain, I'll have the pleasure to introduce you to him. But first, historical perspective. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Isa ruhillah. What Isa represented? All al-mazameen al-aliyah for Isa. All al-karama that Isa had. All al-ilm that Isa had. All the knowledge. All the elevated status. Ruhillah. Kalimatullah. No? Al-Imam Hussain represents that. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Muhammad Habibullah. The best title that Allah gave anyone was given to our Prophet Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. Muhammad is the beloved of Allah. Al-Husayn represent this legacy. من أحب الحسين فقد أحبني ومن أحبني فقد أحب الله. Whoever loves Imam Hussein, he loves me. And whoever loves me, he loves Allah. And whoever loves Allah, and whoever loves Al-Imam Hussein, Allah loves him. أحب الله من أحب حسين. Now, what is the issue of حب here? Love. What kind of love? It is the kind of love that your compassion, that your all entity lives for it. For this reason, you see some of the poets, when they talk about Al-Imam Hussein, he says, if you open my veins, your name is going with my blood. One of the poets called him, Anta sharayinu dima fi huruqi. Masra, al-dima fi huruqi. This kind of hub is above time, and it's above place, and it is above the where, and it's above the why. If you have iman, you love Allah, you love awliya Allah. It's an equation you cannot break. You cannot claim that you love Allah and you don't love His messenger. You can't claim. And if you claim, you cannot claim that you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And you hate what Muhammad loves. Does it make sense? أنا سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said that statement, I am silm for whoever had silm with you. I am peaceful with anyone who is peaceful with you. And I will declare a war on anyone that declare war on you. حسين مني مني how? وأنا من حسين. He's part of me, I am part of him. It's not one way. It's a cycle. He is part of me and I am part of him. The father can say to the son, he is part of me. But he doesn't say, I am part of him. But Ar-Rasul said, he is part of me and I am part of him.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And Al-Quran, ayat al-tathir, Al-Imam Hussein was a champion in that ayah. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. But unanimously among all the Muslims, Al-Imam Hussein was a member in this ayah. آيات المباهلة. Al-Imam Hussein was also a participant, a significant participant in this ayah. When they had to debate the Christians about the legitimacy of the new claim of Islam, and they came with their best knowledgeable scholars to debate our beloved Prophet. And you need to learn from this how to debate with the brother Christians. You need to converse with them based on the Quranic teaching. They came to him and they said, look, we were expecting a prophet. We know that you are honest. You could be the prophet, but just tell us what does Allah says about, what does your religion say about Isa? And a Rasul was very polite with Allah. They tell you how polite he was. Anytime somebody asks him a question, he has the answer. He wants to answer, but he waits until the permission comes from Allah. Why? Because Allah told him, whatever you want to say, it has to be through wahi, revelation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. So these brothers that ask the question, I'm going to pose a question from me to him. When Ar-Rasul said, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. When Ar-Rasul said, I love Al-Imam Husayn, whoever loves Al-Husayn, I will love him and Allah will love him. Was this wahi or not? Was it a revelation or Ar-Rasul invented these words? وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ بِالْمُطْلَقِ in everything. This is why our school of thought is the only school of thought in Islam that gives al-ismah to al-rasul in everything. In everything. So if you ask al-rasul, what would be the best methodology in order to produce a good olives and how to replant it? He will give you the best advice and it will work. Unlike some of the narrated ahadith that you read in some of the books, when he gave them the wrong advice and it didn't work, and he says to them, look, you know about the dunya better than me. This is not the Rasul that we know. The Rasul that we know, Al-Quran identified him to us, and Al-Rasul that we know identified Al-Quran for us, and the relationship vis-a-vis the two, uncontradictable at all. The legitimacy of the prophethood testified to the legitimacy of the book and al-aqidah, and the book and al-aqidah testified to the legitimacy of the prophethood and Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
This is why when Muhammad was walking, al-Imam used to say, here's al-Qur'an al-Mashi. Qur'an al-Mashi. Muhammad is al-Qur'an al-Natiq. وعلي هو القرآن الناطق وسيرة الأئمة هي القرآن العملي. You don't see contradiction between what the Quran says and what the Rasul does. No contradiction. No contradiction. I explained to you 2 years ago about this ayah. ورفعنا لك ذكرك. We have elevated your dhikr. Is it true or not? Can you think of anyone in the world today, his name will be mentioned at least 17 billion times a day, other than Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam? Allahumma
rafa'na laka dhikrak. We have elevated your legacy, made your name known to the generations. We have made you known to all the prophets from Adam until Isa. Every prophet was a witness on your legitimacy, and we took the covenant from him.
Nare takbir.
And then,
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Nare hadi.
Nare. Wama adraka ma Muhammad. This is Muhammad. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ 1.7 billion or 0.2 Muslim in the world today, at least 80% they perform as-salah, 17 rik'ah a day, 5 times a day, al-adhan, how many times a day, how many people in the world recite as-salah, how many times al-dhikr will come, countless, you cannot count as-salah ala Muhammad wa Ali, you cannot count al-dhikr of Muhammad. This is the application of al-ayah. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ
سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ
سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ
إِنَّا عَطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرُ. This guy who didn't believe in him, he says, oh, you claim you are a prophet. You can't even ask your God to give you a son. Your first son died and the second son died and you are sonless. I'm not going to follow you because you don't have kids. The Rasul did not feel at ease. He was feeling the pain of losing Ibrahim and Al-Qasim. And then the revelation came. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. This person who hurt you by saying such a statement, he is the one who is going to die without any lineage, without any offsprings, without any kids. And he died without any kids. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allah told him, we have given you al-kawthar. What's al-kawthar? Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Does apply also a river in Al-Jannah, we're not going to say no, but from Fatima comes Naslu Rasulullah. The offspring of Rasulullah came. Can you be Rabbukum? I want you to really ask yourself sincerely. Can anyone claim from that time until now that his offsprings amount to more than 100? 200? Can anyone claim from the time of Al-Islam until now that his family still exists in a clear lineage, in a clear pages, in a clear tree, in a clear propagation of generation after generation, except Muhammad? No. 60 million Sayyid in the world today, at least. From whom? From Al-Kawthar, Inna A'tainaka Al-Kawthar. Isn't that an evidence about the authenticity of the message?
Subhanallah.
This is the man who said, Inna Al-Husayn, Inna, in Arabic, Tawqeed. Inna, certainly, Al-Husayn, Safinatun Najat, the ship of salvation for this ummah. Misbah al-Huda, the lamp and the light for guidance. Wa safinatun najat. The Rasul said, Man lahiqa biha najat. Who was guiding himself to follow it, he will be saved. Wa man takhallafa anha. Yeah, Rasul said that. Now, this is his own opinion, or is this a wahi? It's a wahi. Revelation. No, it's a revelation. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. Umara in al-Jannah. Al-Shuhada are the princes of al-Jannah. Who is Sayyid al-Shuhada? Abu Abdullah, Sayyid al-Shuhada. Sayyid al-Shuhada wa Sayyid Shababi Ahl al-Jannah. This is why we love him, and this is why we grieve over his loss, and this is why we commemorate his legacy, because it will never die, and it will never fail, and it will never be put off by anyone, because al-Rasul himself promised that. From that time. Inna liqatl al-Husayn fi qulub al-mu'mineen, for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein in the heart of the believers, compassion that will never die. Hararatun lan tahda abadan, ever. I hope that we should give some focus and shed the light on this issue. Al-Imam Hussein Khatiz. So, Al-Imam, apparently he knew about this event. And Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, he knew about Karbala. At one particular time, when the caravan of Al-Imam was traveling, he passed by Karbala. And he sat there, and he asked his followers to camp, and he cried, and he wept passionately, and he says, Huna mahattu rihadi. Here, where their horses and their camels will settle. Here, where their tents will be erected. Here, a group of people, Allah Himself, will be proud of them, and He will talk to the angels and tell them how good this group of people will be. this group of people with my son, Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam, تقتله الفئة الباغية لا أنالهم الله شفاعة جده يوم المحشر. Fatima knew about the event. Al-Sahaba knew about the event. Al-Muslimun, significant number of them knew about the event. So Al-Imam, he knew. And he was preparing himself for that event. And then he said, أَمَا وَأَنَّ الدَّعِيَّ ابْنَ الدَّعِيِّ قَدْ رَكَّزَ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنِ. He said that Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, is an imposter. What does that what imposter means? Means he's not a legitimate ruler. He imposed himself on al-Muslimin. Like his father imposed himself on al-Muslimin. And that is a response to Mufti al-Saudiyya. When he uttered incredible words that displayed his kufr. Go to the YouTube, and the question was posed to the Mufti Saudiyya directly, and I feel terribly sorry that a halim, they call him a Mufti, he would be that ignorant. This lady asked him, what do you think about the conflict between Yazid and al-Husayn radiallahu anhu? He says, well, we shouldn't get involved in history. This is ummah qad khalat laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. It's an ummah that passed. And then you have to be worried about our affairs. Well, theoretically speaking, he is right. But he did get involved, and he did answer, and he did go back. Had he answered like that and was silent, we would have respected him. But he says, in any case, Yazid was right. He was the legitimate Khalifa, and al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu was wrong. He was a legitimate Khalifa because his father appointed him a Khalifa. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. His father was not a Khalifa when Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib was a Khalifa. You know, frankly speaking, the only Khalifa that was unanimously elected by the Muslim, 99% without any lying, was Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said, I did not want to go to Al-Masjid, they grabbed me, they surrounded me, they pulled me, they pushed me, they said, we don't have anybody else except you. They put Al-Hujjah on him, so they responded. No, he is a Khalifa. Say, Muawiyah was not a Khalifa, right? Muawiyah was a Wali on Al-Sham during Umar. When Al-Imam Ali became a Khalifa, he sent him a governmental decision. The good things that you have done, Allah will reward you. For the bad things that you have done, we are kicking you out. You are no longer away. Then he revolted. We asked Mufti Saudiyya, in your own school of thought, what do you say about the man that revolts against a Khalifa? In your own school of thought, they say it is haram. He must be killed. That's what they say. Anyone who revolts against al-Khalifa, the legitimate one, should be killed. But they have this jurisdiction that it doesn't make sense to me. But if he succeeds in revolting, he's a legitimate Khalifa. It is haram to revolt, but if you win after you revolt, you are a legitimate one. Does that make sense to you? Is Islam is a mockery? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Islam as Deenul Qayyim. Deenul Qayyim, the valuable religion. valuable religion. So, never underestimate the position of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. Never underestimate his position and never underestimate what he has done. And then he said, this man, the impostor, the son of the impostor, ruler. He gave me no choice except two things. Two things. Either I give him al-bay'ah. Either I give him approval of his hukum, or he's going to kill me. This is the only choice Al-Imam had. And Al-Imam knew if he has to go to the mountain of Al-Mamaus, they will follow him. You know why they will follow him? Because they were looking for a legitimate cover for their hukum. As long as Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam does not give al-bay'ah, they know the Muslimin will not give the legitimacy to their hukum. But once Imam al-Husayn says, Ya Yazid, give me your hand, I will give you a bay'ah, then the whole Muslims say, if Imam al-Husayn gave al-bay'ah, then we will give al-bay'ah. Does that make sense to you or not? For this reason, Imam knew how dangerous it is. How dangerous it is. It is not good to succumb to a zalim. It is not good to give legitimacy to a zalim. It is haram in Kitabullah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah and the legacy of Al-Imma, and it's common sense. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ آية in the Quran. No? وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Yani don't be loyal to those who commit a zulm. The nar will take you. Jahannam will take you. أَمَا وَأَنَّ الدَّعِيَّ ابْنَ الدَّعِيِّ قَدْ رَكَّزَ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنِ إِمَّا السِّلَّةِ وَأَمَّا الذِّلَّةِ. Look how beautiful, concise, straight to the point. He gave me two choices. إِمَّا السِّلَّةِ means to fight him, or الذِّلَّةِ. He did not say, either I have to fight him or give him al-bay'ah. No, he called al-bay'ah what? Zilla, humiliation. To who? To al-mu'min. Who represented who? The legacy from Adam until Muhammad. Imam al-Husayn, impossible. By logic, by religion, by wisdom. It is impossible for Al-Imam Hussain to say, yes. And something, I was one of these centers, and this gentleman came to me and said, look man, we don't want to talk about politics here. I want you to come, just make us cry a little bit, and let's go home. And I said, what is it with you? Why are you so tight? He said, because you talk about, you know, we give legitimacy to the United States. You know, we love the Americans. We just don't want to criticize. He said, look, I am an American. I'm an American citizen. I could tell you with humbleness that I've served this country much better than a lot of Americans. I played for the United National Soccer Team for 9 years, but that did not take one single bit of my love to Al-Imam Hussain. And I told him, what do you want me to do? He said, don't speak about politics. I said, okay, don't worry, just make sure that you sit there and listen. I sat in the front, yeah? And I said, okay, maybe Al-Imam Hussain made a great mistake. Maybe Imam Hussain should not get involved in politics. Maybe he should not fought Yazid. Man, what he has to do this? Takes the women and the children, leaving beautiful houses, wonderful life, leadership, respect. All what he has to do, just one word, bayatuk. Just one word. Ba alif ya ayn tek. Bayatuk. And then Imam Hussain would be left alone. And then the money would be given to him. And then he would be living in the best castle. But what would happen to Islam? What would happen to a deen? I told him, in your views, maybe Al-Iman should have taken the sword and go to Yazid. Look, man, I have nothing to do with politics. Take the sword. I'm just a humble, simple man. I just want to sit here and do a tasawwuf and say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Islam is not a joke. You want to be a Muslim? You cannot cheat Allah in His heaven. Al-Imam said, أنا وإن الدعي ابن الدعي قد ركز بين سنتين السلة أو الزلة هيهاد من الزلة هيهاد. When I count to three, all of you in one sound repeat after me. One, two, three. Hayha minna zillah. One more time. Hayha minna zillah. Never. Never. Al-Mu'min, it is his wajib, will never put himself in a situation where he's a dhalil. It is haram for him. Why? Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ what? Al-Izzah. وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْعِزَّةَ for Allah and His Rasul and the believers and Muhammad. Al-Imam Hussein told him, يَحْبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Allah will not accept that I give you bayah. وَرَسُولُهُ, the Prophet will not accept I give you bayah. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers will not accept. What believers? From the time of Adam until your time. And no mu'min will approve al-bayah from Hussein to Yazid.
Subhanallah.
Ya Allah, lana wa rasuluhu wal mu'minun. And then beautiful, wonderful sentence. Wa huzurun tabat wa arhamun tahurat. Huzur, good families, good offsprings, good wombs in the mother of al mu'minat. Only a son, illegitimate son, would come to Yazid and say, okay, leave me alone, take al-bayah. وَحُجُورٌ طَابَتْ وَأَرْحَامٌ طَهُرَتْ. This statement is not an easy statement, think about it. This is why he says no. He says then, we will fight you and you might die. He says, you're threatening me with death? أَفِبِ الْمَوْتِ تُهَدِّدُنِي يَبْنَ الطُّلَقَاءِ. You, the son of the freed one. What's that freed one? He reminded me. Says, your father and your grandfather, it was my grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who let him go free when they came to Makkah victorious. يَبْنَ الطُّلَقَاءِ, you're threatening me with death? We don't care if death comes to us or we go to death. وَكَرَامَتُنَا مِنَ اللَّهُ what? الشهادة. The karama from Allah to us is what? Martyrdom. الشهادة. الشهادة. This is Al-Husayn. This is Al-Husayn that we need to know. So, if you are making money from Al-Haram, and if you want to be with Al-Imam Husayn alayhi salam, there is something that does not add in that. It does not add. And don't convince me that you have no other way or any other chance to make money except by doing Al-Haram. No. That doesn't make sense. There's plenty of opportunities. And rely on Allah and come to Allah and perform a tawbah and refrain from Al-Haram, so Allah can move you from the dhul of being disobedient to Him into of al-izz of being obedient to Him. This is Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. As you say, Allahumma inqulni min dhul ma'asiyatik ila izzi ta'at. Make sure, Ya Allah, that you always keep me being obedient to you, because there is izz. Al-izz, al-izz, al-karama, al-majd, the glory, the dignity is being obedient to Allah. And the Imam Ali alayhi salam raises his hand to the sky and he says, Kafani fakhran. Kafani fakhran annaka rabbi. I'm so proud that you are my God. Wa kafani izzan anni abdu. I have achieved dignity because I am your servant. This is the relationship you have with Allah. And do not worry, because al-mu'min, Allah, by sunnah and by law, chose to give him a rizq in two ways. You don't have to worry. If you are a mu'min, all what you gotta do is do a dua and make an effort to work. Make the effort. Learn and make the effort, and Allah will give you. There is two kinds of rizq. Rizq that you need to go to it. You need to get up early in the morning. You need to go to your job, drive, struggle, sit in the traffic, drink your coffee to wake up, deal with the people that you like or dislike at work. Be patient with the routine that comes with the job. Be patient with those people who are giving you a hard time. Be patient with the fact that you need this money that you are earning. Be patient with the fact that you are giving everything to this job while somebody else is sitting and you are getting both the same money. Oh, what you got to do from the boss, handshake. Good job. You gotta be patient. This is halal money that you're making. This is a rizq that you need to go to. And there is another rizq that will come to you and will only come to a mu'min. It doesn't come to a kafir. A rizq that comes to you from a places that you do not know. يَأْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَرْزِقَ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah insists that beside the rizq that you are going to, Allah will give you rizq from places you don't expect. What is the evidence in our Quran? I'll give you an evidence. The story of Maryam عليه السلام. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها ورد رزقاً. قال يا مريم أن لك هذا. Every time Zakaria would go to Al-Mihrab to visit Maryam, he'd see the most wonderful fruit, unseasonal fruit. In the winter there is grapes, wonderful grapes. Where did you get this from? هو من عند الله. إن الله يرزق من يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give sustenance to whoever it pleases without questions. And then notice that when she was single, Allah used to give her this money, this rizq, without any effort. But when she got pregnant with Isa, and when she was struggling with al-makhad, the process when a woman is about to deliver, what do we call it? The hour of what? Labor, right? And the expression self-sufficient to define. The hour of labor. Is she doing any labor? Is she plowing? No, she's just sitting there, but as if that she was doing what? Labor. Pain. What did Allah say to her? وَهُزِّي وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. If she didn't do the shaking with the tamar fall, no. Then Allah facilitated. Allah facilitated for you. Go do the shaking. Shake the palm tree. Don't sit at home and say, Ya Allah, rizuk me. In the next hour, Ya Allah, rizuk me. In the third hour, and the fourth hour. And you sit 24 hours, Ya Allah, rizuk me. Yani if the angels, with the permission of Allah, can come to you, he would come and tell you, get out. Al-Mu'min is not a lazy bum. Al-Mu'min is not a potato couch. Al-Mu'min value the time. And he gives everything his best, including looking for a proper job for his family. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تَسَاقَتْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًا. So, under that circumstances, make a pledge to yourself that you will quit making money from al-haram, and you will see. You will see in your own eyes, after a while, how the tranquility Allah will bring it to you. And how the ecstasy of an iman. I use this expression because I cannot find any other expression. It's called halawatul iman. Halawatul iman. Allahumma adhqni halawatul iman. And for an iman, there is halawa when you follow what Allah says. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
With the time that I have left, I need to start speaking about the main subject that I prepared 2 days ago. I'm going to shed the general issue and general light about it. And I want to focus me and you on it because it is a major issue in Islam. And because of its existence, happened what happened in Karbala. The idea and the concept we need to discuss, it's called an-nifaq, hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is a dangerous concept. Islam, throughout its history, suffered a lot from those people who practiced it. And according to Al-Ayat, and according to Al-Quran, the most dangerous people in Islam were Al-Munafiqun. They observe Surah Al-Baqarah, there's only few ayat that describe the believers, no? You read Surah Al-Baqarah, classification, simple classification of three groups. Alif Lam Mim, Zalika Kitabu La Rayba Fi, Huda Tuhu, Al-Muttaqin, those who believe in you, believe in the prophets before you, Yu'minuna Bima Unzila Alayka Wama Unzila Min Qablik, Wabil Akhirati Yuqinun Ulaika Alayhim Salawat Wa Huda. It's very simple, straightforward description. Then the second group, Inna Alladhina Kafaru, those who declared al-kufr. Sawa'un alayhim a'andhartahum am lam tundirhum. They're not going to believe. يعني ما تتعب نفسك. يعني يا محمد, don't spend any time with them because they are not going to listen. But when it comes to the third group, al-munafiqun, most of Surah Al-Baqarah described. And then great deal of Surah Bani Israel and Al-Ma'idah and Al-Nisa and Al-Ahzab, and there is a complete surah about them called Surah what? Al-Munafiqun. And they are the one who brought this ummah into big divisions. And they are the one who brought Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam to Karbala and left him alone there. And they are the one who come to Al-Masajid with great numbers, but when Allah tests them and when Allah inflicts them with some adversity, what kind of deen is this? I want you to focus, and I urge myself to train yourself and ask Allah to protect you and me from being among those people. Why? Because they are the worst enemy of Islam, and they will have the worst punishment, Yawmul Qiyamah. إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار. نرى الكافرين, نرى المشركين, المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل, in the lowest section and stage of Jahannam. Why? ومن الناس من يقول آمنا. Some of those people, they will tell you, oh, I'm a mu'min, I'm with you. Brother, I'm with you. But Allah knows better, He's not. What is the sign of al-munafiq? How do you identify al-munafiq? How do we immune ourselves against al-nifaq? First, we should not lie. Al-mu'min, repeat after me. Al-mu'min never lies. Al-mu'min la yakzub. Say, al-mu'min never lies. Why? Al-Rasul said, mu'min, in a weakness, he might run away in the battle. In a weakness, he might commit small sins. In a weakness, he might eat the bread without paying for him because he's hungry. But yakzib al-mu'min, al-mu'min la yakzib. Rasul, don't train yourself to lie in the small little things. If we lie in the small little things, we tend to lie in the big things. Don't lie in front of your children, because they will observe and they will make it a sunnah. And they will say, and the shaitan comes to tell them, look man, your mother lied, just love it. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَذِبُ. Wonderful statement. Lying will not lead to any prosperity. It is better to face the consequences of saying the truth rather than creating horrible consequences of lying. Facing the truth, by far the consequences are less than facing the consequences of lying. بِئْسَ مَثْوَهُ مُكَذِّبِينَ كَاذِبِينَ. The mu'min does not lie. And when you have a problem, when you are facing a situation when you need to be honest with yourself, honest with your brother, honest with your sister, honest with your mother or father, honest with your partner, you want to bring about a situation that reveals that you are truthful, but it's going to hurt, face it, do it, say it, let it go. According to Imam Ali alayhi salam, إِذَا هِبْتَ شَيْئًا فَقَعْفِي. If something is making you worried and afraid, face it. Running away from it, it will give you more stress than the stress of facing it.
SubhanAllah.
This is a hikmah or not? Al-Mu'min does not lie. Al-Mu'min has no two faces. Al-Mu'min has no two tongue. Never train yourself to come to a zalim when you don't have to. Yani the sword is not above your neck. I miss you. This is a zalim, you don't need to even shake his hand. You don't need him. Or never be in a situation where a mu'min comes. Wa alaykum salam. You hug him, you kiss him, he turns his back. And you go to the third party, you know what he did yesterday? This is a big caveat. This is al-haram. This is the act that will take your haybah, take your iman, take your a'mal saliha, will be thrown away. Never train yourself to do like that. If you have a problem with a brother, face him and tell him, I need to talk to you, please be patient with me. If it is worth it, if it is not worth it, don't read the issue. Just forget about it. If the situation needs clarification, before you make a judgment about anyone, before you spread lies about anyone, before you break the karama of any sister or any brother, understand what's been said, is it true or not? وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. The Quran tells us, do not take a stand on anything you do not know. إِنَّ السَّمَعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. What you hear, what you see, what you think is responsible in front of Allah. You should only speak based on what? Knowledge. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, between al-haq and al-batil, there's only four things. And one of the men says, I don't understand. He says, look, put your hand here. Between what your ear hears and what your eye sees, there are four fingers. Someone can tell you, oh, I have seen the mu'min doing this and this. Haram. If you are saying the truth, you are committing a sinful act. And if you are lying, you are committing a sinful act. If Zayd comes to me, Brother Ali, yesterday, Umar was talking bad about you, I will tell him, I don't want to hear it, don't tell me. Your job is to defend me in my absence. If you tell me, I will lose respect to you. Why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you defend me there? You were silent, you didn't say anything, you come to me, and I will have hatred for Umar. And Umar will hate Zayd. And Ali will disrespect Zayd because... And Islam is against that. The best thing to do, you go to Umar and tell him, look, if you have an issue with Barakat, let's go sit and resolve it. That's the proper thing. Don't believe a rumor about a sister that you love and you respect. Do not adapt a conviction about bad news that you receive about al-mu'min. Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam told us, Wallah, لو أني رأيت المؤمن يفجر تحت أستار الكعبة. If I had seen the mu'min is committing a zina under the curtain of Al-Kaaba, I'm not going to spread the news about it. ليش؟ Allah denounced those who love al-fahisha to be spread about al-mu'min. Yes, he will stop him. Yes, he will come advise him that he's not going to go the next day and tell everyone, you know what I've seen this guy doing, such and such and such. In our society, in our community, this is haram. And if a mu'min makes a mistake with you, give him the room to come back and correct it and accept his apology. And do not refrain from refusing apology. Islam does not like that. Allah does not like that. And do not also treat yourself that you are better than the others or above the others. This is haram in Islam. Allah knows best about who is better than anyone. For this reason, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to always, always ask Allah to protect us against al-nifaq. We always need to ask Allah to protect us against lying. And see what Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam teaches us in his dua. Wonderful school. Wonderful school. Stick to the Sahifa al-Sajadiyya. Allahumma inni as'aluka sidq al-hadith. Ya Allah, I'm asking you to help me be truthful in what I say. Sidq al-hadith. والوفاء بالعهود. If I promise something, Ya Allah, help me to commit and help me to apply my commitment and help me to do the promise that I made. Vice versa, do not make a promise you cannot make. Try avoid to promise anyone when you know for sure you're not going to be able to do it. I'll call you tomorrow. You hear the statement? Call you tomorrow. You know, you are saying that to him and you know you're not going to call him tomorrow. Allahumma inni as'aluka sidq al-hadith wal-wafa'i bil-uhud, to act on my promises, wa-ada'i al-amanati ila ahli, to deliver al-amanat to the people that it belongs to. In another dua, read this dua in your salah. Allahumma tahhir qalbi min al-nifaq. Ya Allah, purify my heart against the ones. Allahumma tahhir qalbi min al-nifaq. Wa amali min al-riya. My work, my behavior, my effort against what? Against show. And why? It's a sign of nifaq. You see, some of the people, when he's alone, he doesn't pray. When he's with people, Allahu Akbar, you want to show. In front of his own family, he doesn't do exact bilgi as a wajib to them. In front of the people, he runs miles and miles in order to show. Allahumma tahhir qalbi min al-nifaq, wa amali min al-riya', wa lisani min al-kadhib. Purify my tongue not to commit a lie. And if you want to joke, it is recommended to joke with your brother and make him laugh and make him happy. And our Rasul says, إِنِّي لَأَمْزَحْ. I will joke. وَلَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقًا. Even when I joke, I say الحق. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى بحق محمد وآل محمد أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم بارك على محمد وآل محمد وترحم على محمد وآل محمد وسلم على محمد وآل محمد وتحنن على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وتحننت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إني أسألك بجلال وجهك وبقدسية أسمائك وبأعظم صفاتك وبدم الشهيد المظلوم في كربلاء يا الله المؤسسون لهذا المسجد ولهذه المؤسسة يا الله. اللهم اغفر لهم ذنوبهم وارحم موتاهم وألف بين قلوبهم على محبتك وطاعتك. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيتا ولا دينا إلا قضيتا ولا غائبا إلا أغنيته وأحضرتا ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك فيها رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد.